I, the Son of Man, am. They said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Praise God. For a few moments here, if the Lord would help us and anoint us, I believe God wants to talk to us tonight about the church triumphant. The church triumphant. Amen. Stretch your hands forward toward the Lord and let's pray and let's ask God to have His way. Father, we thank You tonight. Lord, what a great moment. What a great opportunity. God, what a great service tonight that we're in. We thank You, Lord, for the power and the presence of God that's right here inside of this room tonight. The great people of God that are here. And Lord, we're asking You tonight to come down and bless this occasion, Lord. We pray that You would take us to that next step, Lord, and move us forward in this service to where You want us to be. I pray in the name of Jesus, let Your glory rest upon this house tonight from this time forth and forever. We pray and we thank You for it now in the lovely name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone that loved Him said amen. Amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Tell somebody you're glad to see God, see Him in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate seeing my pastor here tonight. Amen. Brother Lester Mollis. Love him. Appreciate him. As you look at this church that Jesus Christ speaks of in this text, it's a familiar portion of Scripture for most of us here tonight. Simon Peter is saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord turns and says, thou art Peter. We find that the Lord knows who we are and what we are. And we also find that we need to know who He is. Amen. And what He is. I find that Peter came to the realization and spoke up saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. I think it's important for us to realize who we are in Christ and know who He is. And as we move forward as a church, we find that Jesus makes this great declaration. It has both a spiritual significance and an eternal significance. We find up until this time, Brother Joe Gans, it had simply been the kingdom of God. It had been the kingdom of heaven that had been taught and preached and had drawn hearts and lives, amen, out of that sin lifestyle and brought them into the walk in the newness of life. It was the kingdom of heaven that John preached, and it was the kingdom of God that you read about in the early part of the Gospels. But now then, Jesus unrolls the blueprints for something very special when He tells His disciples, I will build my church. Praise God. Amen. There's things I see in that statement that He makes here tonight. The first thing I see is authorship. Amen. The second thing I see is ownership. Because He says, I am going to build my church. Praise God. It's already been said here tonight that this is His house and this is His church. Praise the Lord. And I'm glad tonight to know that Jesus Christ, amen, when He died on the cross and when He rose up from the grave, He empowered that church. Amen, somebody. Amen. We're a part of a church tonight that is going forward. Amen. I find that the church was part of those that the Scripture says they were the ecclesia, the called out ones. If you study your Bible, you'll find they were called out of Judaism. They were called out of the Gentile realm. They were made together as one. There Christ broke down the middle wall of partition between them. He crossed the lines of culture and He brought them out. Those that were at the well and those that were lost in sin and those who were separated from that lifestyle in sin, and they were brought to that place in relationship with Christ, and one by one, soul by soul, family by family, Christ was beginning to build His church out of every kindred and tribe and tongue and nation. There He would make them members into one body, that body being the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm thankful tonight to know that Jesus, when He died on the cross, He didn't stay there. And when He laid in the grave, He didn't stay there. Amen. Jesus is alive tonight. And if His body, Brother Jason, did not stay in that grave, amen, then the body of Christ, the church, amen, must also be alive and well. As the literal body of Christ rose from the dead, amen, the church of Jesus Christ must then be alive and well. You say, preacher, where are you going with this? I want to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ did not die on the cross and rise up from the grave for us to be a part of a social type church or a dead church or a cultural seeker-friendly church. But He called us, amen, out of darkness into His marvelous light to be a peculiar people. Amen. Chosen and separated unto Himself. A holy people. Amen. People who love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. There He begins to birth this church, teaching them about the kingdom of God, declaring and speaking to them of the things of the kingdom of heaven. He unrolls the blueprint, and I like this because He serves notice on the devil right up front. He says, Brother Davey, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. Right there at the inception, right at the onset of the beginning of everything, before He shed one drop of His blood on Calvary, before He hung on the old rugged cross there, amen, before they buried Him in a cold, dark grave, even before He rose on the third day, amen, He tells hell, Brother Joe Gans, you will not prevail against my church. Amen. He invokes authority, amen, authorship and ownership of this church. You see, it's how you begin sometimes. As we watched that slideshow tonight, I thought, wow, what a beginning. Amen. And I want to tell you, He's the author and the finisher of your faith. Praise the Lord. I like what Brother Shepherd said about the three parts there. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe in the Trinity. How about you? You can't have Pentecost without the Trinity. No, you can't. I said you can't have Pentecost without the Trinity. Amen. But I find that God has called a church to be triumphant. And He's empowered that church. He's provided for that church. And then He turns and tells the devil and the demon and those that would oppose the work of God and those that would speak against the work of God. And He says, oh, and by the way, you will never prevail against my church. You see, there's a church that's coming up out of the world. God is raising up a church. God is lifting up a group of people. The scripture says you're going to be as a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. I want to tell somebody tonight, you can't hide the biggest thing going in Chelsea, Oklahoma. It might have started small, amen, but it's grown a little bit bigger. And the Bible tells us to whom much is given, much is required. Amen. Whenever that God gives you something small and He begins to bless that, then God turns and He promotes it. And He empowers it and He blesses it until it becomes bigger and better and bolder than it's ever been. I want to tell you tonight, amen, the devil can't stop the best thing going, amen, in Chelsea, Oklahoma. I'm thankful they finally got a Casey's down here. Amen. After Jiffy Mart all those years, choking down that pizza, praise God, for Casey's, hallelujah. I said, but the best thing going, amen, is not the pizza down there at that place, amen, but the best thing going is a Pentecostal church, amen, right here at the city auditorium, amen, there's a church triumphant that's going forward. It's a Pentecostal church, amen, it's not a nominal, non-denominational seeker friendly, prop your feet up on the pew and enjoy your coffee and donuts type church. It's not the church where that the pastor gets up on the platform and shares a little bit, but amen, every time I ever been in this house and in the places where that Calvary Lighthouse Church came together, we had church. Amen, the Holy Ghost moved. Amen, the gifts were in operation. There was worship. There was anointed music. Amen, I want to tell you tonight, the gates of hell are going to come against this church. They're going to try and stop it. You've probably already felt the opposition. You've already seen, amen, temptation. And maybe even before it's over, you'll face some persecution. But what you need to know tonight is this, that whatever comes out of those gates at you, amen, whatever opposes you, amen, you and your family, you and your church family, amen, you are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer. Jesus said the gates of hell will never prevail against my church. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You look here and you find that Christ, as he turns to 12 disciples, common men, men that were fishermen, hardworking men, men who probably had no college education. Some of them probably were not qualified for the positions they were fixing to hold. But we find that he takes that church and he unrolls those blueprints and he shows them, guys, this is what's going to happen. And you're going to be in charge of it. In one place, he talks to them as apostles. In another place, he talks to them as disciples. Amen. And we find that there were 3 or 25% of the 12, amen, who had issues. You ever met anybody that has issues in church? Wait around a little while and you will. Praise God. Amen. But I know that Jesus knows how to deal with folks like that. Amen. Praise God. 25%. You say, what's that? Well, Thomas. You know, Thomas had issues, didn't he? Thomas was a doubter. Amen. Peter was a failure. Judas was a traitor. And 25% now of the church. And well, what are we going to do? And sometimes the pastor gets to wondering what's going to happen. But the church, what happened, Brother Jimmy? The church went on, didn't it? Amen. Because Thomas believed. Praise God. And Peter had a comeback. Amen. And Judas got replaced. Amen. The church is going on, folks. Amen. It's not built on man. I know he said, on this rock I'll build my church. That was a confession of faith. Praise God. Amen. That he is the Lord of the church. And this is his house. And I have a part to play. Praise God. He said, I'm going to build my church. And the church is going on. What does it mean when you say the gates of hell will not prevail against the church? Amen. That simply means that they will never prove to be more powerful than my church. Amen. You may face widespread persecution. You may face widespread opposition. You may face widespread temptation in the last days. Amen. But Jesus said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 1:19 said, they're going to fight against you. They shall not prevail against you. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Hallelujah. Pastor, it's coming. It's coming one of these days. Amen. We're going to see things break out and break open, and God's going to move in ways that we've only dreamed about. I've been asking God to do it and bring another Pentecost, amen, so I can see it in my generation. The Holy Ghost spoke earlier and said, we've not seen the glory in our generation, amen, like we can, but I want to see it. Brother Jason Pepper, I intend to see it. Amen. I believe that God wants to send, amen, his glory in these last days. And he's not going to send it down at the club. And he's not going to send it down at the casino. Amen. But he will send it to the church. I said he will send it to the church. Amen. A holy place. Amen. A place what's prepared for God. Amen. God is going to move in his church. We find here, as I'm moving quickly, that Jesus speaks of hell here coming against the church. And how many knows hell doesn't have a fence around it? Huh? Jesus wasn't talking about literal gates here. But I really believe he was showing us in a word picture some of the things that were taking place. If you look at Luke 16, it talks about the rich man and Lazarus. And the Bible said there was a great gulf that was fixed there. There was torment and darkness and flames. And just hold on here with me, okay? Jesus described hell in literal terms there. Amen. But we find that in the text here, it seems as if he's using a word picture of these gates. I know, and I'm thankful tonight that heaven has literal gates. Praise God. It talks about gates of pearl and walls of jasper. Praise God. I'm looking
looking forward to seeing heaven's gates. How about you? Amen. But Jesus here is communicating a very powerful truth through this word picture. He's talking about a passageway or an entrance, if you will, to that place called Hades. That entrance to the eternal world. Amen. That entrance to the grave. That place that is called death. I want to talk to you tonight about the greatest enemy that the church will face. That is death. Death. Death in the pew. Death in the pulpit. I'm not just talking about literal death, but spiritual death. Amen. A death, a dying of spiritual things. A falling away. Why is it the church needs revival? Because we're dying. Amen. Amen. I know we're not shouting right at the moment, but I remember Brother Bob Goodwin, former pastor of mine, he said, you know what revival is? Revival is putting life into something that is about to become a corpse. Amen. That is why the church must have revival. Amen. I certainly believe tonight that Jesus looked forward through time and he knew that the church was going to face an enemy that could never be conquered without his lordship, without his leadership, and without the power of a risen Christ. He turned to them and said, he said, you're going to be quickened in your mortal bodies. By the mouth and pen of Paul, he told them that the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead is going to dwell in you. I want to preach to you tonight and tell you, amen, Jesus didn't die so we could have a dead church, amen, but he died so we could be alive and we could have life more abundantly. He said, listen, I've come that they might have life. He talks of abundant life. He talks of eternal life. He speaks of everlasting life. And this is why he turns to hell and says, the gates of hell will never prevail against my church. What he was saying was death will never overcome my church. Amen. Listen. Listen. Thousands of years, death had reigned as king. From since Adam, death had had a grip over humanity. We find that there were only two that didn't escape this grim ruler, this grim reaper, Enoch and Elijah. The Bible said that they were caught up, if you will, that cold lifelessness that comes to a body. Amen. The death that's there. Romans 5 and 14 says, from Adam unto Moses, death reigned. Amen. Death seemed to be a king, you might say. And the law, it seemed, uses death to enforce some of its penalties. Amen. We find that death reigned over Moses. But then one day there was a baby king that was born. Amen. And Herod tried to kill him. You remember that? Amen. When he was just a baby boy. But there the new king was born. It seemed that he was just a babe, helpless and harmless. Amen. What would he do? Amen. As he began to step out and walk on the pages of Scripture, there was a young boy. The Bible said he died. And his mother was a widow. And Jesus was walking toward the gate of Nain. Do you remember what happened there that day? Amen. When that man was laying on that place, and Jesus said unto him, rise, and there he rose from the dead. Let me tell you, we serve the Lord of life, and he is bringing life to his church. And right there that day, the gates of hell could not prevail against the church. We find here the second instant, there Jairus' daughter, there she's laying. Jesus, he heals a woman with the issue of blood, but he's on his way to Jairus' house. There's a little girl in there, and they said, trouble not the master anymore. She's dead. Jesus, the Bible said, went to her, took Peter, James, and John. Maybe that was the only deacon board he had at that time. Amen. But he went in there to that room, and what did he do? He began to pray, and there he spoke to that girl. What happened? The Bible said he took her by the hand and said, maid, arise. Amen. And there she came to life, and the gates of hell could not prevail. Amen. Death had lost, and Jesus had won. Amen. Death said, well, I'll win this time. I'll take his close friend. And so he made a move on Lazarus, and Lazarus got sick. Amen. And Lazarus fell to that place where that he died. And Jesus began to weep and cry. Amen. But he had to conquer. He had to conquer. He is life. He said, I am life. I'm the resurrection and the life. I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Death wanted to be king, but Christ was king. We find here that he stirs up the powers of the Jewish church. He stirs up the powers of the Roman Empire, the angry church people. Amen. And right in the midst of all of that, Jesus makes his way to Lazarus' tomb. And he speaks to Lazarus and he says, Lazarus, come forth. Praise God. And once again, the gates of hell, amen, a stone or a gate or whatever you want to call it, could not prevail against the power of a risen Christ. I want to tell you tonight, amen, Jesus died to provide life for his church. Amen. You and I have life tonight, and we can live because he lives. We find here that death marched him through this kangaroo court in the middle of the night. Yes, death had zeroed in now on Christ himself. They tried to throw him off the hill at Nazareth, but that would not do. Now then we find him there as the Roman soldiers have binded him. The crowd is crying, crucify. They take him to the cross. He hangs there. His final words, it is finished. And what a death Jesus died. Oh, hallelujah. But I'm so glad it didn't stop there. Paul wrote it this way. He said, if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. He said, if Christ be not risen, your preaching's in vain. He said, if Christ be not raised, you are yet in your sins. Praise God. But thanks be unto God who has raised Christ from the dead. I want to tell you tonight that Jesus is alive. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead. Amen. And behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys, praise God, of hell and of death. And I like the part where he said, I'm going to give to you now the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth, amen, whatever you lock up tight, it's going to stay there, amen, but whatever you open, amen, it's going to be wide open for you, because I'm giving you anointing, I'm giving you authority, I'm giving you power, amen. That power was mine, I held it to myself. All power is given unto me, he said, in heaven and in earth. He said, but now I give my power unto you, amen. Behold, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. I want to tell you that Lazarus, he died, amen, and there he rose from the dead when Jesus called him, but he died again. Jairus' daughter would face death again. The widow's son would be buried at the end of his lifetime, but Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Seated at the right hand of the Father, and the best part about it is he's called us up to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I'm preaching to you about a church triumphant. A church triumphant. A church. The gates of hell will not prevail against them. You go to the book of Acts, you find he's empowered them now. The Bible says, with great power, he gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There he told him, he said, you're going to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. As I read that, I see three things clearly. First, I see Jerusalem, the local church. That was one platform. And then he moved them on from the local church to have a regional output. There in Judea, now then, in the regions round abroad, the church is not just local anymore, but they're regional, and they're moving out. Amen. But Brother Matt, eventually they move out into Samaria, that forbidden place where the Jews, amen, didn't fellowship with those folks because they didn't come to their fellowship meetings. Amen. They didn't like the way they had church over there at Samaria. Amen. But that didn't bother Philip none. He went down there and preached revival. Amen. And he dealt with Simon the sorcerer right down there, and men cast out the devil, and they had church at Samaria. And you find, amen, they went from a local church to a regional church to having a global influence. And I want to tell you, Calvary Lighthouse Church has just stepped into the third dimension. Amen. You've got a global influence. I said this church is on a mission to do what Christ has called you to do. You are the church triumphant. He moved them from having a small sphere of influence to now then, people all over the globe are being affected by what they are doing. I find here that this church now is empowered by God, and they have, the scripture said, great power. But then you see, as Ananias and Sapphira's sin is dealt with in the book of Acts, the Bible said great fear came upon the church. Isn't that what it says? Great fear, great power, great fear. Amen. Go on to study the story of Stephen, and you're going to find that great miracles and great wonders. Listen, great things are happening in the church. Amen. Have you heard what's going on down there at Calvary, down there at Chelsea? There's great things happening in the church. Praise God. I said there's great things happening in the church. And God's moving down there. There's great power. Amen. God's moving. There's great miracles. Amen. I want to tell you what God has given us is a book of Acts church. He's given us a church that's anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. He's given us a church, amen, who has authority and divine ability, praise God, to do what He has called them to do. So the day of hanging your head and being timid and shy is over. You are the church triumphant. Woo! Hey! Glory to God. 12, 7, however many He starts with. Amen. And the scripture said He added daily to the church such as should be saved. I know the devil's over here subtracting from the church and bringing divisions to the church. Amen. But God don't do that kind of math. Amen. He's adding, and the Bible said He multiplies. Amen. And before you know it, the church is growing and God's moving and the gifts of the Spirit are operating. Yes. By the time you read the end of the book of Acts, they faced great persecution. Amen. Paul stretched out his hand and wreaked havoc with a sword against the church. Amen. But thank God for a life change in the apostle. Amen. Because God used him. Amen. To write the end of the book. Here we find all of the New Testament letters, for the most part, written by a man who persecuted the church. Oh, what God can do. Amen. In a change. In a church. With a life. Amen. With the pen of one man. And what can God do with you? I say, look at Christ and His church. They are not a timid band of followers. Amen. With a small-minded teacher. No. Amen. But He is a world changer. He is successful. Amen. And whatever He touches, amen, He does all things well. Amen. So as I close here tonight, notice with me, He deals with the kingdom. But from that point forward, He begins to call them My church. Will you say that with me? My church. Those of you that attend here need to say that with me tonight. My church. This is My church. This is where I belong. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. Pastor, I'm going to turn it to you here in a minute. But listen, amen, it's the kingdom. You go to Colossians and you read, amen, Paul writing to the church at Colossae. He's telling them, giving thanks unto the Father in chapter 1 and verse 12. Amen, who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, he says, hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 18 begins to talk about Christ being the head of the body, the church, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Amen. Authorship and ownership. Amen. He is the one who is in the church, and He is the Lord of the church. Praise God. And we are His body, and we have His power, and we have His Spirit. We are the church triumphant. Hallelujah. You see, the pattern is simply this, as I close. Jesus Christ ascended then back to His Father. But then the Holy Ghost descended. But it didn't stop there. A lot of churches stop there. They enjoy the Holy Ghost descending service after service. Just as Christ ascended to the Father, the Holy Ghost descended to the church. Then the church was extended into all the world. Don't miss that last part. Because that's where we are right now. Jerusalem, Judea. Come on up here, Brother Jason. Just stand right up here with me. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Jerusalem, Can you climb those steps yet?
Almost.
Judea, Belize, Samaria, hallelujah. Amen. Honduras, Africa. Amen. Haiti, wherever God calls you, that's where God's going to move. That's the influence of this church. That's what God's doing. Why? Amen. Because God didn't raise up a church to be quiet or to be timid or to be shy. But He raised up a church to have passion. Amen. He raised up a church to have vision. He raised up a church, amen, who could walk and see and do what He's called them to do. But it's not enough just to have passion. It's not enough just to have vision. But there's a mission that we've got to fulfill. Amen. There's a great commission that God has for us to do. Stand up on your feet tonight and give God praise in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're the church triumphant. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The scripture says in Psalm 41 and 7, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Amen. We are a triumphant church tonight. We are a church victorious. We are the glorious church. A church without spot or wrinkle. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Come on. Hey, who are you anyway? Amen. Do you know who you are in Christ? That's the crisis of the church today. We don't realize who we are. If we would hide in Christ and He in us, we would know then who we are. As the church triumphant, amen, He has called us out of darkness. He has raised us up in heavenly places. I want you to step out of those pews tonight and begin to walk toward the front and act like the church, amen, that God has called you to be. Amen. Don't be timid. Don't be shy. Amen. But realize who you are in Christ. He loves you tonight, and He's for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thronging up the steeps of life.
Come on, church. You know who you are.
Glad in glorious shining garments.
This is a Pentecostal church.
Blood washed.
This is a holiness church.